Let us turn to Psalm 29, where we find that David also hears the Lord speaking to him out of his creation. And we should learn from him. We should learn to see the glory of God revealed in all creation and in providence, and to respond by giving glory to God with all the angels. Psalm 29, and in the blue pew Bible, if you're using the blue pew Bible, that's found on page 461. A Psalm of David. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Amen. Let us consider the beginning of this psalm where David summons the angels of God to give glory to God. That's really, I believe, who is being referred to in verse 1, ascribe to the Lord, literally in the Hebrew, O sons of the gods. Similar expressions. When the heavenly court, God and his angels assemble in Job chapter 1, even the fallen angel Satan is present. The angels are referred to as the sons of God or the sons of gods. At the end of Job, in Job 38, verse 7, when the Lord himself is speaking and describing his work of creation, he says that the creation of the world, the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Again, I think referring not to men, but to angels who were magnifying God as they beheld his creating of the world. In Psalm 103, verse 20, the psalmist and we, when we say it or sing it, declare to the angels, bless the Lord, you angels, mighty in strength to do his will. In Psalm 148, verse 2, we call upon the angels, praise him, all his angels, all his hosts, his heavenly armies. In Psalm 97, verse 7, the psalm commands the angels, worship him, all you gods. Well, there's only one God, but there are heavenly beings who are, well, from our stand, from our point of view, as lowly human creatures, God-like. But in Hebrews, when Psalm 97, verse 7 is quoted in Hebrews 1, 6, the Holy Spirit translates it, let all the angels of God worship him, meaning Christ. So we have all these references to summoning the angels to worship to adore, to give glory to God. And sometimes they're described as sons of God or even as gods, little g. And we'll look at that again next week in Psalm 8. But in Matthew 18, our Lord, in verse 10, refers to the angels who continually behold the face of my Father who is in heaven. Hebrews 12:22 says that when we come in Jesus' name to worship, we are lifted up, united by the Holy Spirit, lifted up to the very gates of heaven itself, the heavenly Jerusalem, Mount Zion in heaven. And there, as we worship, we have fellowship with the mighty God, with Jesus Christ, whose blood calls for the forgiveness of our sins, with saints who have gone before us and have been made perfect, and with myriads of angels. In Revelation chapter 5:11 describes the heavenly court as God enabled John to see it in a vision, the throne of God blazing with glory, the Lamb of God there, and surrounding. Revelation 5:11 speaks of myriads upon myriads and thousands upon thousands of angels who are praising the Lamb and praising Him who sits on the throne. And yet David calls upon the angels to praise God, to give glory to His name, to give to God the glory that is due to His name. God's name is a way of saying all of God's attributes. The many names of God revealed in the Old and New Testament bespeak each one of them the mighty, wonderful attributes of God. His name is glorious, and the angels give glory that is due to His name. They constantly behold His face and constantly worship Him. And yet David calls upon them to do that very thing. Who is more qualified than the angels to declare the glory of God because they see it, they behold it, they even hide their faces from it, according to Isaiah chapter 6, because it is too magnificent for even perfect and holy angels to gaze upon without hiding their faces. Is this just rhetoric? When David calls upon the angels to give glory to God, to give the glory due to His name, is it just rhetoric? When we sing the doxology, praise God from whom all blessings flow, praise Him above ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, is that just rhetoric? Well, I think from the New Testament, the answer has to be no. But the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:10 tells us that through his ministry and the ministry of other apostles and evangelists, the angels, speaks of them as powers, heavenly powers, the angels learn the mystery of the gospel. God didn't reveal it to them. They hear it when it's preached in the church. And in 1 Corinthians 11:10, he instructs us that angels are aware of how we conduct ourselves in the public worship of God in the church. Does that mean that angels are present here? Well, they could be. We wouldn't be able to see them, but they could very well be present here because Hebrews chapter 1 tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent by God to help those whom He is saving. And so we don't know when angels may be present or not present, but it is not merely a rhetorical exercise to say, praise Him, you angels, you mighty hosts. They, in a sense, are the, well, Christ is the real leader of our worship. But the angels join Him in giving perfect worship. They worship the Lord in the beauty of perfect holiness. No sins of theirs to be forgiven. Well, okay, but that's heaven. And we're here We're here on earth, and we cannot yet see the blazing majesty of mighty God as the angels are able to. So point number two, we need to learn to see God's glory revealed in, I put nature in quotes, because the word nature is used nowadays as if it were a divine being, and what we mean is God's creation, God's creatures, God's providential rule over His creation. We can learn from David, we can learn from David in Psalm 29 to see God's world with the eyes of faith through the glasses of Scripture. In verses 3 through 9, where is David? And what is he seeing? Well, he's giving us a description, certainly, of a great storm moving in from the Mediterranean Sea to the west, moving in, driven by powerful winds, moving in over the land. And David looks north and he can see the forests of Lebanon waving before that wind, skipping like calves. He can look south and see the wilderness of Kadesh, with the wilderness shaking before the wind that is coming with that storm. He hears the roar of the wind. He sees the flashes of fire coming down from heaven, even setting things on fire. He hears the mighty thunder that bursts forth and is so startling and powerful that in Lebanon, calves or cattle give birth, are stirred to give birth. Now what is he describing? A great storm, but how does he see the storm? He sees the storm not just as a natural event that might be described by a meteorologist or might be photographed by a news broadcaster saying, head inland people, this is a real hurricane. He sees the storm as revealing the glory of God. He says it is the voice of the Lord upon the waters. It is the glory of God that is thundering. Now, is this just pre-scientific, primitive man superstition? You know, there's Thor, the thunder god. I guess it's Thor is the thunder god. Maybe it's Odin. I don't remember. One of those German gods. And there's you know, the Greeks, the Romans, the Canaanites, the Babylonians, they all had their storm gods. Is that what you got here? No. This is not primitive superstition. This is not against meteorology. Scientific disciplines like meteorology describe mechanisms. They describe the what of the creatures God has made and the how of how they interact. We're reading about El Nino and what it may produce in our weather in the coming months. These things can all be described. But who made them? Who governs them? Whose power is revealed in them? When the earth shakes and a volcano explodes and great clouds of fiery stones and lava and ash and gas, poison gas, pour out, and many people die, and villages are destroyed, and people must flee for their lives. This is not just creation gone wild. This is a manifestation of the power of God in His creation and providence with lessons to humble us before Him. David sees the hand of God in the storm. He hears the voice of God in the storm. We need to learn to see the hand of God in His creatures, to hear the voice of God in His creation. The birds their carols raise. Not just the nice things like birds singing carols, but also the mighty and awesome and threatening and scary and destructive things too. Fiery storm, fiery hail that obeys His word. Blasts of snow that come according to His word, Psalm 148. This is the way of seeing. It's the right way of seeing. We can learn from David to look at all aspects of God's creation around us with awe and with wonder at the mighty power of God, the amazing wisdom of God. My wife and I have been reading a book. We've been reading it for months because we just read it in little pieces. A book about how genetics works at the molecular level within the cell. And it is incredible to think that there is a mighty intelligence, a mighty wisdom that designed how atoms come together as molecules, and molecules come together to design, to have a blueprint for life, so that from one cell can develop, well, these are plastic, but can develop flowers like these. Or the tree from which this wood was made, or our bodies. To just walk in the woods, or even in your backyard. You hate those weeds, right? You want to get rid of those weeds. But pluck up that weed and just think about that weed. Think about the power that God put in that weed and in the soil and in the water and in the sun. So that weed you don't like grows and grows and grows. In fact, it defies your will when it grows. And it's a marvelous demonstration of the power and the wisdom of God. We need to learn to see galaxies and cells and all things as displaying the glory of God. Are you a student in school? Do you like science? The things you learn in science, somebody once said, you're learning to think God's thoughts after Him because He planned all that. He designed all that. He rules all that. You hate science? Learn to love it. Right? Right. And if you're in Bruce Mulder's class, learn to love it and get a better grade. Because you're studying the handiwork of God. I don't know how many times I've driven down a country road at sunset and the sky is just breathtakingly beautiful. And there's a herd of cows over here. Are they looking adoringly with awe and wonder? Oh, they're eating grass. But in eating the grass, they are glorifying God because it's what He made them to do. But only man has a capacity from God to look out at His creation and say, we know who made this. Tragedy, tragedy. All men don't. Our father Adam rebelled against God. All of his children since, including us, have been born in sin. We are not born looking at God's creation and saying, praise to God who made it. We're inclined rather to look at God's creation and say, gimme, 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 I want this, I want that. Or if we're in awe and wonder, we make gods out of the creation and bow down and worship the creature instead of the Creator. But through Jesus Christ, when we come to Him, trusting Him for His saving work that we might be forgiven and made new and become God's children, through Jesus Christ our eyes are opened. Through the Word of God, our hearts and our eyes and our minds are instructed. And we're made able, we learn to see the glory of God revealed in His creation. So yes, learn to see nature in this way. From galaxies to atoms. We cannot see the blazing majesty of God as the angels see it. Not yet. If you're trusting in Christ, you will someday. We will someday. but we can see his works. And the greatest of his works is the sending of his Son from heaven. That God, the eternal Son, could by a miracle which only God could accomplish, also become a human being in the womb of the Virgin Mary. That he, in a mighty demonstration of love and grace, would give himself to die on the cross to atone for the sins of people who by nature hate him and rebel against him and are his enemies. That he had been raised from the dead and seated in glory at the Father's right hand, and from there the Father and the Son send the Holy Spirit, who has the power to come to dead people, people dead in their unbelief, dead in their sins, walking away from God, rebelling against him and liking it, and making us alive by a miracle of spiritual new birth, turning us around, making us sons and daughters of the living God, empowering us to live a new life. The mighty works of God ought to excite us to give glory to God, to give to God the glory due to his name. And so, point number three, Church of Jesus Christ, give glory to God. Now that's just the third line of verse 9. And in his temple, everything says glory. Response to God's glory revealed in his creation is expressed in his temple. His temple, well, his heavenly temple where the angels are constantly adoring him. But here on earth, Jerusalem, when this song is first composed and sung, today, the Church of Jesus Christ, the temple made with living stones, found everywhere where the gospel is preached and God calls men and women and children out of darkness to his Son Jesus Christ to become priests in his temple, living stones in his temple. There's no higher privilege that can be given to the children of Adam than to have their eyes open to see the glory of God and become worshipers of him. Everything in God's temple cries glory. This then is the primary focus when we come together to worship, to see by faith, to declare by faith the glory of God in all his works of creation and providence and salvation. This could be what is characteristic of our worship from beginning to end, that we seek in all things to reflect, to manifest the glory of God and to give glory to him. And I think that we should evaluate our conduct in worship by that measure. Are we truly giving glory to God from our hearts, with our intelligence, with our voices, and with our actions? Are we giving glory to God? The point of coming together on the Lord's Day is not our entertainment, it's not our amusement, and it's not the praise of anybody who participates, certainly not the pastor. But like the angels, we should seek to come into the presence of God through Jesus Christ and to worship him in the beauty of holiness. Now there's a challenge because by nature we are not bent toward holiness, we are bent toward sin. But we come, this is why we begin our worship services, confessing our sins, humbling ourselves before God, calling upon him through Christ our Redeemer and our High Priest. Because in Jesus Christ we may be forgiven and washed clean and cleansed from the guilt of our sins, the Holy Spirit may be stirred up within us at the direction of the Father and the Son to help us grow in holiness and bring to God worship that is characterized more and more by the holiness of those who bring it. But even to the extent to which our worship is tainted and clouded by our sins, and it is. Spiritual sacrifices we bring to God, First Peter 2 verse 6, are made acceptable through Jesus Christ. Praise to Him. So here is the sort of vision when you put all this psalm together. There is a great orchestra and choir from heaven to earth, united together to give praise to the glory of God. Bless the Lord, all you works of His in all places of His dominion. Psalm 103, verse 22, heaven and earth. All your works give praise to you, O Lord. Psalm 145, verse 10, in heaven and on earth. Angels and saints in heaven. All the creatures of God in the heavens, the starry heavens and on earth. Redeemed sinners gathered together as His church on earth. All of us united in praise to God. Focused on all the ways that He has shown, revealed, demonstrated His glory. Even in our personal lives, redeeming us from sin, turning us around in life, answering our prayers, delivering us from evil, constantly demonstrating His faithful mercies to us. Who is this God we worship? He is the God who sat as king at the flood, enthroned at the flood. Yes, that great and terrible judgment of God that destroyed all life on earth to be repopulated later, but as a foreshadowing of the judgment that is going to come on the last day. The King who reigns, the King who will be judged, the King who reigns forever. Almighty in His power. Awesome in His judgments. Beyond comprehension in His saving grace and mercy. He is the Lord who gives strength to His people. He is the Lord who gives His people peace. Our hope. Even as we come to worship Him and give glory to Him, our hope for all good things, and especially for all good things that are eternal, our hope is in Him alone. And so we should, every one of us should, look forward to every Lord's Day when we have the opportunity to come and say, help us, Lord, to give to You the glory that is due to Your name. Now we're going to sing this psalm, setting for this psalm in a moment. It's not the most felicitous melody for it, but it's singable, and I don't think we've ever sung it, but Priscilla played it as the offertory, and those of you who are adept at catching music, reading music, help us out, sing out, and we'll sing Psalm 29. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we confess to You that it is easy for us to become so bogged down in the affairs of this world that our eyes are only cast downward, that all we see is the trouble around us or the obligations that weigh upon us, or the delights and joys that You give us in small things in our day-to-day lives, and fail to have our eyes open to see in all of these things also that they come from You, that they're governed by You, that they reveal Your wisdom and Your glory, Your majesty, Your judgments sometimes, and Your grace. But Lord, we pray that You would open our eyes more and more to see the world as You created and governed it, to see it and respond by confessing and declaring Your glory, to rejoice with the privilege You've given us to join together with fellow believers and with angels in heaven to worship You. So help us, Lord, to grow in a desire and an enjoyment of giving to You the glory that is due to Your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.